The gospel of Christ knows no religion but social, no holiness but social holiness. These are the words of John Wesley. There is no holiness but social holiness. John Wesley was not one for finesse. But this very blunt, if not very binary, proposition about what it means to be holy is an important part of our Methodist story. John Wesley was captivated by the idea of growing as a Christian person. Having rejected the idea that you're either saved and assured or nothing at all. Now, this was the idea that if you truly knew Jesus, you felt different and acted differently and never had doubts or fears or questions at all. Wesley rejected this, and if you missed my sermon on his heart being strangely warmed, you should catch it on the website. John Wesley, instead of this saved or nothing moment, began to see the process of the Christian life. That God was always at work within all of us. That when we asked God, hey, would you, God would bring us in line with that divine image and plan, and that God was always at work within us to make us better people. This idea of being made a better person, this being sanctified, was a journey of holiness. Now, we're going to talk a lot about this next week. I'm really plugging a lot of my own sermons this morning. But the journey to grow as a Christian person, to ask God questions, to investigate the stories of our faith, to see the divine in the world around us, this was a journey that John Wesley emphatically sojourned. And he wanted the people called Methodists to do so as well, to always be moving and growing and in process together. This was a journey of seeking holiness. I mean, this was a guy who would pray 4 hours every morning. That's 4 hours, not 4 hours. He would pray four hours every morning. He would read his Bible so intently and devotedly that no one knew it better. He would sit and then journal his reflections of what he heard and learned in prayer and what he'd discovered in the scriptures. And then every day he would take time to read what he'd written previously in his journals, hoping to learn from his own learnings. And after all of these intensely personal activities, after all of these personally holy actions, he came to one very clear conclusion. Despite all of this personal work, there is no holiness but social holiness. In other words, we don't get anywhere alone. You see, the Methodist tradition is one of relationship. We grow together. In his own way, John Wesley was wading into the, oh, I'm spiritual but not religious debate a couple hundred years before it really got going. There was a tension, even to his time, between people who thought true spiritual growth was an inward journey. There were also those who saw it as an outward journey. The inward folks, touting much of the same material that is quite popular in many a millennial church, focused on the inward personal journey, what it was for you, what you needed, and just thinking about those things would be enough. To know yourself was to know God. This didn't sit well with John. In fact, John addressed such attitudes in a sermon. He said, first, it has been often objected that religion does not lie in outward things, but instead in the heart, the inmost soul. That is the union of the soul with God. The life of God in the soul of man. By the way, he was a little sexist in his terminology. Pardon all the man thing going on here. The life of God in the soul of man, that outside religion is worth nothing. Seeing that God delighteth not in burnt offerings or in outward actions, but a pure and holy heart. I answer, it is most true that the root of religion lies in the heart, the inmost soul, that this is the union of the soul with God. The life of God in the soul of man. But if this root really be in the heart, it cannot but put forth branches. Again, he has this real old English vibe to his writing style. But that last sentence, if the root be really in the heart, it cannot but put forth branches. You see, John is not anti-personal spiritual life. I mean, he gets it. I mean, this guy prays for 4 hours alone in a closet every morning. He's all about taking some personal time for your own spirituality. But he says to those who would make it all about themselves and their needs and their actions, I see your spirituality, and I raise your religion. Okay, he would never actually say that because Methodists are incredibly anti-gambling. But you see what I'm going for here. What he's trying to say is that if you're growing on the inside, you can't help but grow on the outside. It reminds me of a story from a Sunday school teacher. It's not one of our ones here, but it's one of those stories that when you hear it, you can't forget it. It's a story of a kid in Sunday school who was one of those kids that you don't realize is paying attention, but is listening to everything. And on one simple day, they were talking about God, and the child asked, well, where is God? And offering a very solid Sunday school answer, the teacher replies simply, well, God is in your heart. Good answer. Then after pausing, the kid goes, I thought God was bigger than anything. And the teacher, without connecting the dots and following his logic, said, well, yes, that's true. So the kid's sitting there, and suddenly the gears start to turn, and he puts two and two together and says, if God is in my heart, but God is bigger than anything, shouldn't God show through on the outside then? I love kids. A personal spiritual journey makes its way outside because there's no holiness but social holiness. When John Wesley spoke of this, he went to the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus is preaching in Matthew 6. Hear Jesus talk about this. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its saltiness, how will it become salty again? It's good for nothing except to be thrown away and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city on top of a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. Instead, they put it on a lampstand and it shines for all who are in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before all people so that they can see the good things that you do and give praise to God who is in heaven. When there is a light in your soul, it must be seen. You can't hide it, so why try? Both the scripture today and John Wesley allow for the uniqueness to remain. It's your light. The light God has placed in you. It is personal, but it shines for others to see. The personal spirituality we develop remains our own. But the results, the positive consequences, they spill over and they even stir others. To be in the house with a light is to see things more clearly. The communal, relational nature of this early Methodist movement was about encouraging one another. We grow together. In community, we find accountability. And that doesn't mean we're walking up to every person who comes in the door to say, okay, we need to talk about your week. Even to know we're going to gather together and have a moment where we reflect on who we are and how we say we're going to live and how we are living is a moment of accountability. We gather together in community for support. Sometimes it's in the sharing of joys or concerns or simply to be in the presence of people who you know will love you. We gather in community for a chance to contribute to something bigger, not just a single lamp to offer light in this sometimes very dark world, but a collection of lights. So many lights gathered together that it glows and shines like a city. Our collective growth spills over. It spills over from our personal growth into this community of faith. And if we're doing it right, the growth we share together, the light we all share in, then spills over from this community of faith to the community at large. There's no holiness, but social holiness. For quite some time, the liberal movement within Methodism has clung to this quote that there is no holiness but social holiness. You see, it's a great motivation for all that social justice work us liberals hold on to as essential to our faith. We got to go do stuff. See, John said so. Now, this is a problem because it's not what John Wesley meant when he said there is no holiness but social holiness. And there are those who might bristle at social justice work who are very quick to point out that he said social meaning community, not social as in social justice. There are folks for whom this sentence has become that there's no holiness but social justice holiness. Sometimes at the expense of developing a personal relationship with God as well. I believe that claiming John Wesley's original intent of communal, social holiness drives us to that justice work. We can honor it as he meant it and still find ourselves out in the world making a difference. Because for me, to name that individual growing leads to community is really the same thing as naming that a community growing will then lead to sharing things in relationship with the world. To name that if an individual is growing must lead to community is also to recognize that if a community of faith is growing in relationship with and growing in the likeness of God, that community will spill over into the community at large. It's the same Bible verse that tells us we're to let this light shine before all people. If the love of God is at the root of our community, it cannot but put forth branches that spread beyond this place. This isn't just wishful thinking, trying to make the Methodist tradition meet my preference for serving the community. Serving others and being active in the world around us is Wesleyan and in our Methodist DNA. It's why John Wesley, in addition to sitting in his closet praying and doing all the Bible study and reading all of his journals and doing all that personal work, went out every single day to feed the hungry. It's why John Wesley asked every person in a little Methodist group that they would be held accountable to visiting people in prison and caring for the sick. And he asked them every single week, "Have you gone out and done this for the people that need it?" It's why he actively required all pastors to be active in their communities with the instruction that they were never to waste an hour doing nothing when they could be out there doing something. It's why as Methodists we build and have built schools for the poor, advocated for safe working conditions. The Methodist Church helped eliminate child labor. The Methodist Church addressed the dangers of alcohol addiction before anybody wanted to talk about it. And though we have struggled with our own institutional failures, within Methodism came some of the earliest voices for civil rights and women's rights. Methodist college students marched on Washington with Dr. King. Methodist women started some of the first comprehensive sex education and contraceptive programs in this country. Our own congregation has witnessed holiness that reaches out. It's why we house a family that's preparing to get back into a home of their own. Our third family moved in this week, and I got to be there as we opened the door, and she walked in and burst into tears and said, "This is for us." Yes, it is, because you deserve a place to call home. Our holiness spilling out into the world is why we feed the hungry in the park. It's why we're partnering to support congregations like Park Hill United Methodist Church that are holding individuals in sanctuary. It's why we respond to floods, lead the city in food drives, and have become a beacon of loving, inclusive values for the world. There are countless stories from today and throughout the ages of the people called Methodist in this place and throughout our denomination around the world. Countless stories of the people called Methodists letting their light shine in ways that brought light to the world and shared the kingdom of God. And we could do that because we did it together. There's no holiness but social holiness. Let's let that light shine. Amen.